Okay, Becky, do you want to go ahead and do a quick roll call, and then I'll kick things off.
That sounds great, sir. All right, so we've got Colonel Akers and Dr. Stein and Colonel Caraballo. I apologize if I mispronounced that, sir.
That would be great.
Thank you, sir. Major General Stott. And from 75th Innovation Command attendees, we have Sergeant First Class Rockwell, Major Hammond, Sergeant Santini, and Major Robbins.
Perfect. So, I really, really appreciate everybody being on here tonight. We're going to try to, we'll try to have this wrapped up in about 45 minutes. So about quarter after six for you on East Coast time, quarter after five for folks on Central time. What I'd like each of the panelists to do is, and I think you've all seen the kind of the agenda previously, I'd like you to introduce yourself and then talk about when you served in an organization that used the Perrin, Stafford, and Peterson principles. What were some of the results you saw of abiding by those? And then have you used them since that experience? And so I'd ask each of, we'll do in the following order. We'll start off with Marty Akers, then we'll do John Stein, and Mike, you'll get to do, you'll be the cleanup guy. Take about 5 minutes, if you could just, again, say who you are, when you were in an organization that used them, what were some of the results of that, and have used it since then. Becky's going to be my timer for this. She's going to make sure that we stay on time, so about 5 minutes for each one of you. The purpose of this is, and we talked about the fact it's going to be a podcast, the purpose is I'm going to use this as part of our change management, organizational management and change for the 75th, which is undergoing a huge change of mission now that we've gone from being a training support division to the Innovation Command. And without further ado, I will pass it over to Marty.
Okay, thank you, sir, and colleagues and teammates and warriors. Very cool to be with you this evening. I'm going to set my stopwatch now so I don't exceed my time. I could talk a lot about this subject. But at some point, we all get to a point in our career, ideally, where it's an opportunity to give back, and that becomes a primary part of who you are and what you stand for. And I'm at that phase in my career, and just so honored to be on the call and have the opportunity to give back from the great leaders I've had in my career who have invested their time and talent in my development and performance. Major General Stotts is one of those. So I am Colonel Marty Akers. I'm a logistics guy, but I spent a lot of time in the HR field. I currently am stationed at the 81st Readiness Division. I'm a legislative liaison for a nine-state area plus Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. And prior to this, I was prior to Air War College, I was served as an IG at the 316th ESC, and I was General Stott's command IG for the time of his tenure, and which included a deployment too. So that's my exposure and when I served and was exposed to the Perrin principle, the Stafford principle, and the Peterson principle. What were the results of abiding by the PSP? Sir, you're no longer in my rating chain, so I don't want to sound like a sycophant. So now those times are over, but I really, really appreciated personally your approach to leadership through the implementation of Pearson, Stafford, Peterson principle, but more importantly, the command and my team and many other teams responded very, very positively to it. And I just want to highlight a few examples, and then I'll step off and let others contribute as well as we unpack it a little bit. But it also made it very, very easy to serve in the capacity of a command IG because so much of the workplace and so much of the province and inspector general community revolve and are associated with soldiers, like toxic workplace or a caustic workplace where they're not appreciated and there's not a positive command climate. I'll stop right there and stand by if you want to take a quick roll call check.
Was that General Katulich that
just joined
us?
Good evening. Who just joined?
That's Francine.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you. So we're actually, we were going through Colonel Akers' introduction. So if you just want to listen in on what he has to say, he's introducing himself and his background and telling us more about the different principles and how they've affected him and his career.
So picking up where I left off, the three leadership principles is, A, they go very well together. Parent, be reliable, have credibility, be able, and to some extent that kind of includes be value-added. Stafford, to challenge assumptions and constraints, ask, take the right questions and take risks. And the Peterson principle, to visualize the positive. Units and bases are families, physically and mentally fun. And then use frequent random rewards and make it fun to be around you is the Scott's principle. And those are all nested very, very closely together. But as we all in the Army, when you talk about leadership, no one really wants to receive any guidance, you know, in regard to leadership, because we all think we've mastered leadership and been formally trained in it, which is all true to such an extent. But it's amazing as you start to get into leadership that permeating entire organizations, how different, I will say, the approaches are from units and organizations from one to another. And absolutely the culture changes based upon those environments and those principles. And I'm sure everyone on the call can offer their own life experiences to organizational culture and how it differed from one to another, and the impact that that had on the workforce and the families of the employees, and what was the out product of that? What was the outcome? So within the limited time I have left, I will share with you that the results of abiding with the these three methods called the PSP here were, for my organization, for my team, immediately creativity, synergy. They responded very well to it. They were happy in their environment. They were having fun. They were being challenged. It became fun. It's about creativity. And what I saw was the group started to take life of its own, with initiatives weren't just driven by me, but initiatives were picked up and accepted by other people. And the great ideas started to stem. So we started to really get a high level of organizational dynamic that took place that actually produced tangible outcomes. One of which was a deployed leader handbook that we created for deployment to achieve high performance, and is still being used and is widely accepted. We still get accolades for that. And basically, it was a summation of some of the principles about how to achieve that positive command climate. And if you do have a true positive command climate, the out product of that, the outcomes, you can't even measure, but they're so important, such as all the adverse problems that you avoided that you never knew about, the creativity of out-of-the-box solutions to problems, and this extra energy and commitment and devotion to an organization, all because of a climate that was perpetuated by the leadership to make people have fun, to appreciate families. And then in closing, I will say that leadership spend a lot of time talking about performance and time. For TPU leaders, time is so important to spend up between, divide up equitably between the Army and the civilian jobs and family and church and all the other things that we all pursue and subscribe to. And to do those well, it is truly, truly a challenge. And the Army can be a hindrance in a lot of times. But at the end of the day, performance time, they go hand in hand. But through these principles, if adopted, you'll find yourself having fun, that the Army is not a chore. It's a hobby that you enjoy doing with also like-minded, energetic, positive professionals that you enjoy being a part of that team. And you're going to end up receiving higher rewards because you're not worried about the time and the product. Those are just natural fallout. And, sir, I exceeded my time by about 2 minutes, but open to any questions, and it's an honor to provide that. Hope it was helpful. Over.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Marty. So, General Katulis, did you join us?
Sir, I did. I'm so sorry I'm late. Hi, everybody. How are you?
We're doing well. You're a very important person. Ma'am, did you see the what we're asking? If you could introduce yourself, talk about when you were in an organization that used the three principles, and then what were the results of abiding by that? And then have you used it since you left that organization? And if you could do that in about 5 minutes or so, I would be greatly appreciative.
Yes, absolutely. So Major General Deb Katulis, I'm currently on a 2-year tour as the Chief of Staff at U.S. Transportation Command at Scott Air Force Base, a combatant command headquarters here that does logistics and distribution. I first learned of the principles when I was working for Brigadier General Stotz, the 316th ESC commander, although I have known General Stotz. He was major when I transitioned off of active duty as a captain into the Army Reserves, and candidly was probably more of a driver keeping me in the Army Reserves than he may even know. But he inspired me then as an opportunity to work for him while in battalion brigade command. He gave me the principles, the Perrin, the Stafford, and the Peterson. He also had his fourth principle. And I have since created a fifth principle. That's the Katulis principle that I use for my folks. But I used that immediately, I would tell you, since receiving it, when I walked into my second brigade command, and then when I took over as the 143rd ESC commander back in 2016, and used it to coach my leaders, my subordinate leaders, non-commissioned officers and officers, to try to help them think about things that they do differently and share how I think about things, right? The importance of, as a leader, being technically and tactically proficient, relevant, credible, right? Creating the environment that I heard Colonel Akers talking about just a few minutes ago, where people want to be, right? Where they see it as an opportunity, not as a chore, and making it okay for people to make mistakes, and then adding value in everything that they do, right? One of the things that I would insert in there is a discussion about results, right? So we've all talked about don't ever confuse effort with results. I think, you know, in the context of Stafford, you can get involved in all sorts of things, but if you're not really adding value and if you're not really delivering any sort of measurable results, you got to ask yourself what you're doing, right, and why you're doing it. And I will tell you that that was embraced by a number of my folks. I made it. I, too, had 3x5 cards laminated with the principles on it, and it became a mandatory wear item in my commands. And even as recently as here at U.S. Transportation Command, I had an opportunity last week to address a mentorship forum, which was all Air Force personnel, happened to be officers in this particular forum. And one of the first things I did was whip out the CG principles, that card, and go over those principles with those officers. And I can tell you they immediately afterwards, after finishing my talk, I had to give that card up so it could be photocopied because they wanted to take those and integrate that in some fashion for some of them into what they do. I don't know that I would necessarily say there was an aha moment, but I would say that throughout the use of the principles since probably about 2014, so 6 years, I knew it was impacting folks when they would come back and repeat the principle to me as they were explaining something to me that they had done, right? That's how you know that you have given people a useful tool, when they come back and reference it as they're explaining what they do. The more that happened, I realized that there was an impact being made, a useful impact being made, and I'm very pleased with it. So I think that's my 5 minutes. With that, I'll stop here and open it up.
Thank you, ma'am. We're going to ask Dr. Stein to do the same thing, introduce himself, and then talk about those three areas. Go ahead, John.
Thank you, Rich. This is Dr. John Stein. I'm the department head of the Operations Research Department at MITRE. This is a job that General Stats once held, and that's where how it was introduced to me, the three principles. I don't know for certain, but Rich, I think he took over leadership of this department in about 2003, and I think left about 2013 with three deployments in between there where he was called to active duty. So he introduced us to the three principles, the Perrin, the Stafford, and the Peterson principle. And what I would say is what's kind of unique about my organization is it's just a very definite part of our organization's culture. And my job has been made very easy because it is part of the organization's culture. My greatest role is kind of to retain that culture and to prevent people from being distracted by other things. One of the other things that is very unique about my organization is that one of the ways I am able to preserve that particular culture is through my hiring, which is different, I think, from the Army, because a lot of times people are assigned not necessarily people selected by the leadership, but I have the unique privilege of being able to select everybody who works in my organization. And these principles are drive how we do our interviews and how we evaluate the staff that we bring in. Are they going to be fun to work with? Do they look at working well with the team and having a strong work ethic, and also do they have the technical skills to be that analytical, rigorous person? And are they motivated by doing something really unique and spectacular that would be part of the Stafford principles? Those things are things that we think about when we hire people, and just because we do that, it just makes my job so exceptionally easy, and I believe the staff just have a ball working. They really enjoy it, and I always ask them, are you happy? What can I do to make the department better? What is it that can be done better? And they said, don't change a thing. We just love working here. We love the work that we're doing, and we love the opportunity that we have to contribute to projects. And I would also say that a very important part of this as well is that it really develops the idea of a team. You know, they really want to work together. They are the Peterson principle, having fun doing their job and feeding off of each other and trying to achieve the Perrin and Stafford principle in the process is a great motivator for them all. And it really is something that they've all kind of subscribed to. So the bottom line, I see it working wonderfully. I've been part of it since Rich introduced it, probably in 2004. So you can do the math. I'm 16 years there. So we're an organization that is, I think, extremely well-performing and is largely in as a result of applying these three principles. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Stein. And so, Mike, you get to do cleanup on a panelist side, and then after you're done with your 5 minutes, I'm going to hand it over to Becky, and she's going to take questions from our soldiers who join us. So, Mike, over to you.
Great. Thank you, sir, and good evening to everybody in this esteemed panel. So, you know, I was first in, you know, Mike Caravallo. I'm here in San Antonio, Texas. I retired from in the Army in 2017 in August. And so I had the privilege of learning about the Perrin, Stafford, and Peterson principle when I joined the 211th for deployment under Colonel, and then under that time it was Colonel Stotts, and we were deploying to Crit, to Spiker, to be the mayoral cell there. So, you know, that was my first introduction to it, and to be quite honest, I have been practicing those principles, and including the Stotts principle, at the end, you know, ever since. Once we returned, and I then took battalion command there in Harlan, here in Harlingen, Texas, and then on, and fortunate to be a brigade commander in Puerto Rico with the 166, continued to use the principles, and really, I think you know, the key results, similar to the other folks, panelists, has really referred to, you know, the value that it added was really rooting everybody back to, you know, what they're there to do, and, you know, and obviously being technically and tactically proficient, but also, you know, that value add, because I think as some other folks have said, it's really, you know, what we're adding to the organization and what we bring forward is really going to be our legacies, you know, as individuals and as a unit, and we move forward. And so, you know, we want everybody to have fun and doing that, whether, you know, not there's a lot of tasks that we may do that aren't the most, you know, glorious, but, you know, they're very important for, you know, especially in the military, for the success of the service and the success of the mission. But, you know, a couple of examples, you know, when we were in the RSG, that made it successful is by having this latitude to really to work as a team and really develop courses of action. And it was painful a couple of times when we were at Fort McCoy, and I'm sure General Stotts recalls, you know, we were going through, you know, some MDMP on how to reorganize the staff and really to really mission align and look at those, and we really came out with a great product, because at the end of the day, when we took that reorganized staff approach, you know, to deployment, we accomplished some great things and we're recognized for it. As a matter of fact, some of the RSG format today and staffing was based on things that we created, you know, for the 211th deployment and recommendations we were able to make to the new TOE that then was rolled out to all the 40 plus RSGs. And even while we were at deployment, then we're able to pick up an additional mission to say, hey, you know, we're doing so well, and we know as reservists that we offer a lot more than just our military skill sets. You know, we have educators, we have technology folks, so we were able to partner, you know, with the State Department to tag along on PRT missions to teach the local community, and actually instituted some computer labs and did some additional teaching in the area. And that really drove the motivation of the soldiers, because they were contributing more. And it was hard work, but you know what? They saw the reward that they were getting personally and what the unit was achieving. So that really lasted and created a bigger, you know, larger bond with the soldiers. And, you know, I give other examples, but I would really say before, while my time is coming up, though, I've continued to use that even in my civilian world. I work in product strategy and delivery. And really these principles, you know, when you think about it, they give you the different lens to look at that says, if I'm looking at product strategy delivery, I need to really look at that customer and user experience, and I need to be innovative. And what's the value that I'm giving that folks are going to see? I may see it one way, but I really need to look at it from what that user and what that customer is looking at. And that's the perspective that's going to make it valuable and is going to service them the way they want to be serviced. And build that bond and connection. So I continue to preach that today in my organization from the work, as well as, you know, my personal value add to continue to give back to veterans above and beyond in the volunteer work. So I think if you embrace it and you have fun with it, people respond because they can use that creativity, and they realize that, as the boss always said, if you're not doing something maliciously or intentionally, it's okay to make a mistake. We just got to learn from it and grow, and that's the value of that part, and we can become better people for it, and the organization will become better as long as we're continuing to move forward with the group. And so, you know, and also, because I'm the PT fan, I think like Major General Katulich, but it's always the mental part too and the physical. So it's always good to have fun and practice the exercise there. So, sir, with that, I'll turn it back over to you.
And I am immediately going to turn it over to Becky to take questions from our soldier participants. And please just put your questions out there, and then, Becky, you can decide how those questions are going to be apportioned to our guests. But thank you again to each one of our four panelists. I so much appreciate you taking the time with us tonight. Becky, over to you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, everyone, for all of your input and sharing your experiences with us. For our people asking the questions, since I cannot see you all, which is making me very sad, I will ask that if you have a specific question, please, when you go to ask it, introduce yourself again and let everyone know what section you work in and what your position is.
So who has our first question?
Hello, this is Major Robbins. I'm the new talent management chief for the Innovation Command. I want to thank everybody for being here today. Very insightful discussion so far. As a consultant who has worked on a lot of culture change initiatives and organization development strategies, you know, one of the things we always struggle with in any organization is really getting these ideas that the leadership buys into to permeate the organization and to really stick and resonate at the lowest levels. And so my question this evening is if any one of you or a handful of you wouldn't mind sharing kind of two things. One, what has been your approach in getting this concept to permeate in the organization? And two, related to that, how have you leveraged mid-level management, our junior officers, our platoon leaders, our NCOs, to really get buy-in? And I mean specifically working it into professional development programs, for example, and getting it down to the lowest levels in the organization. So look forward to hearing the response. And again, thank you very much for joining tonight.
Hey, this is General Katulich. I'll take a hit at that first and then try to be short and pass it off. One of the things that I think I've learned over the years in the Army is you have to repeat yourself, right? I mean, there is an adage that if people have to hear something six times before they really hear it, understand it, and get it. And I believe that. And so one of the ways that, you know, there's really two things that I did overtly, maybe some other things that I didn't realize I was doing, but, you know, creating a 3x5 card and making it a mandatory wear item like the, like the dog tags. There's been other artifacts that I've seen in other commands. Those are really very useful tools because then as you are interacting with your unit, with your officers, your soldiers, your organization, you tell them to pull it out. And it's not necessarily as a test to see who has it or who doesn't have it, but whoever has it, because some people do, you talk to it. And you, again, talk about it again and again so they hear it multiple times in different contexts. And, again, what I would offer is, you know, the way that you measure the permeation is when they start talking back to you in those terms. So that's the first question I would say. Mid-level management buy-in, I think, you know, one of the things that I really try to do is focus on our non-commissioned officers and our junior officer leaders as coaching. It really is asking them the question specifically. Tell me the value you're adding with that effort. Tell me the value you have tried to add, for example, for Stafford, right? It's using it in the conversation, but also making it a point to ask specifically. You know, taking things like IG results and going back to back brief a commander for their development. And using the words, you know, my sense is the Peterson is not permeating here, that perhaps there may be some folks in your organization who are not helping you, commander, create an environment where people will want to be. That would be my answer to your second question, is the direct engagement that I knew I did and including it as part of my direct engagement, because it reinforced how important it is to me. But again, I also think it provides very valuable talking points. That's all I have. Over.
That's great guidance. Thank you very much, ma'am. I appreciate it.
I'll jump in too to dovetail on what General Katulich said, just from my perspective, not as pragmatic, but definitely echo the six times and the pointing back to be able to integrate. You know, as you proceed forward in development and in staff and organizational transformation, pointing back to, you know, being able to see ourselves and measure and the integration of those principles in the products and the way ahead, and that people feel secure and happy enough that we're talking about problems. It's not an emotional event. It's never personal. It's all about the business, and everyone is in unity looking at a problem. through a different set of eyes with the solution set. The other thing is that staff repairing and the Peterson principal, as well as staff principal and Cthulhu's principal as well, it all leads to a positive attitude. Those kind of things, the principals basically get people and employees to the point where, A, families are involved, but people actually care about the results, not the effort. Effort doesn't relate to the results. It doesn't always equate to the results. So everybody's trying to get the best performance, but the principals also kind of highlights the ways to support your superiors, but also highlight the ways to support your subordinates and your peers and those around you, and kind of help to transition from incidental, episodic, measured feedback on performance to evolve more into a talent management type of system and culture where people are just continue to, you're incentivizing positive performance and behaviors, and then being able to see ourselves as well when we do extend create organizational products and the creative dynamic of a team is being effective. Everyone knows that if we don't have measures of performance and measures of effectiveness, then how are we going to measure what we're doing? What's the analytics that it's going to be truly value added if we don't establish the measures of performance and effectiveness up front as part of that? Is that ties into so what? So that's my contribution to that. Thanks, ma'am.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Hi, this is Dr. Stein, John Stein. The comments I would add to this is the way you get people to adopt things is that you recognize them for doing it, right? And so in all of our awards, we associate every award with one of these principles. So when they receive an award, it is for something they did that falls within one of these three principles. The second thing that we do is, now this might be unique to our organization. We have a lot of our staff work on many different projects, not directly under the supervision of their leadership. So that's that mid-level leadership. So the mid-level leadership are the mentors to those staff and help them make career decisions and try to track what they are doing. And as part of that tracking of what they are doing, every staff member is expected to present to their leader their not only what their customer wants and the work that they're doing, but specifically, what is the great impact that they're going to have on that project? What is unique about what they are contributing to that work? So that is demanded of every staff member to think about that and to present it. And then those mid-level leaders, when they brief to me what is going on in their organization, they brief that very same story to me. So it's all the way from the bottom all the way up about how they are going to make a great contribution. With regards to the Peterson principle, well, that's just part of the culture. You're going to have fun, if everyone is enjoying the work and you're encouraging that as being one of your principles, it's going to just permeate throughout the entire organization, and it's kind of an obvious thing. If you're enjoying yourself, it's going to happen. It's going to be part of your cultural identity. I'll stop there.
Thank you. Appreciate it, sir.
And this is Mike Caraballo, and I guess the last one, I just add on to, a lot of this is as leaders and similar to General Cthulhu, when we do our leadership by walking around and we see our soldiers and we see our team members in action, it's not just wait for a formal brief to ask them the value add and what their work is doing, how it's making them proficient in those activities in the formal settings, but it's in the informal settings too. So it's constantly reinforcing it in all of your activities. And you don't have to make it, obviously overt by always saying, hey, what's the value add? But it's, what's the purpose it brings? How is this making you, how is this making the unit better? And you can ask the question in many different ways and keeping that open mindset for asking questions, but it's always just having it at the forefront, because as has been stated, it takes at least six times to learn it and adopt it, and either to visualize it or to hear it or to see it. And you know, visualization is a big part of the organization of the Army, visualizing what that end state is. And so we have to help them visualize it and practice it. But if we're not practicing and demonstrating it on a constant basis on all of our interactions, whether they're the informal walking around ones versus just the formal presentations, it's hard for it to permeate and folks to believe that, hey, this is our culture, and it is, and it becomes second nature, because you, it gets to the point that everybody's bought into it, that you're not even really talking about it. It just happens, right? It's permeated into the organization, and the innovation is happening. The ideas are coming, and they're coming to you, you know, saying, sir, ma'am, hey, what about this? Because I think this is going to add value, or we're going to get a better effect by this. They're going to bring it to you because you've created the right culture and the dynamics. You don't have to ask anymore. That's how you're going to know that you've done the right things and you've set the right environment. Because they're going to come to you with those ideas, and so you'll continue to do your leadership by walking around, but you'll be able to see it and feel it, you know, versus have to ask. Hopefully that helps.
Yeah, it definitely does. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Hey, and this is General Katulich again. I just want to amplify one more thing, and Colonel Caravallo made me think about it. But, you know, leadership oftentimes is a matter of style, right? And if he mentioned this, you have to really understand it and internalize it if you're going to be able to talk about it effectively. It can't just be something that you're trying out. That conversation may not go well. You have to really kind of buy into, I think, anything that you're doing that you want to start, that you want your units and your soldiers to start doing and understanding. So what I would tell you is, you know, think about this, and the first step would be for yourself some buy-in, right? And then you can start to own it. Over.
Thank you, everyone, for those answers, and thank you, Major Robbins, for that awesome question. Who else has a question from 75th attendees?
Hi. Good afternoon. This is Sergeant Santini. I'm with the Talent Management in the 75th, the G1 section. So my question is, our organization, you know, is pretty unique right now through its transition. And I just kind of wanted to know, like, what advice that you would have to kind of implement these principles for our organization, since we're kind of spread out, you know, right now we're in a transition phase and we don't generally get to see each other. Everything is new. We have incoming, you know, people who are excited and, you know, just maintaining that morale and kind of fostering the talents. How can we, you know, spread these principles? How can we do that? I think that's kind of where I'm focusing.
I'll jump in with one very quickly. Colonel Akers here. The 81st RD Readiness Division, as well as a strategic regional headquarters that are trying to support major subordinate commands, trying to have an impact and be relevant, but at the same time, don't have a real clear C2 and we're more of an enabling force. How can we create effects and help MACOMs to achieve readiness results when we're really not in a position and we don't have the authority to do it? So we, too, are in one of those VUCA ambiguous environments where we're trying to work through the mission. So part of that is, a theory is to try to spend some time and effort talking about branding campaigns. We do that a little bit here as well. So that's a theory, and it's part of the solution, I believe. But branding, what is the unit about, and those kind of things. And then if you're disparate, everyone's in different environments, and a lot of folks work autonomously, especially with the 75th, you may want to think about things like videos, the 3-minute videos, and other kind of things that people can use to begin to integrate and inculcate into the organizational picture, which not only talks about those leadership principles and those kind of things, but also some pragmatic steps and more repetition about this is what the 75th mission is. We are evolving to meet future threats and help train and enable the Army Reserve, and all these kind of things are all integrated and part of that branding campaign in a set of videos that you can implement into your onboarding process. Make sure all your existing personnel go through it as well and provide feedback, back into that loop, but implement that and put some products in place in the on-ramping process so when people do come in, it's been reinforced not only about what we're going to do, but well, this is what we believe in, and then hopefully that how, the ways and means are stuff that that's what we're looking for those soldiers to help participate in trying to achieve. Over.
Yeah, I second what Colonel Akers talked about, the branding piece. You know, another way to think about that is, you know, strategic communications as well. If you're sending out an email, let's say something about that has to do with medical readiness, where you're communicating that across your formation, understanding that they are, you know, geographically dislocated, I think medical readiness is an aspect of parent. Right. You have to be we are required to be medically ready from a leader perspective. It's an aspect of credibility. Right. You can't ask people to go take care of PHAs if you're red. And so when you send out a note, something like that, I think it's OK from a branding strategic communication perspective to include, you know, verbiage in the note about keeping in mind the parent principle. If you're sending something out to have a unit, you know, picnic or some morale function, again, as you communicate that to the force, it's okay from a branding stratcom perspective to put Peterson on there, right? That sort of very simple messaging is, I believe, what our soldiers will start to see and start to understand in those, you know, different contexts to give them an understanding of what you're trying to achieve in your command with your climate, with your culture, if that makes sense. Over.
And this is Caraballo, and just to add on to that, I think, you know, it's also having that transparency and accessibility, which, you know, you as a leader, you need to be doing that personal contact to, you know, ensure understanding, and when you're branding and you're doing your communication channel, it also sharing that you're being empathetic and know that changing the culture, especially of a large organization as the 75th, it's a marathon, not a sprint, and you just want to. And so there's going to be some bumps in the road, but it's that empathy and understanding, and that when you're challenging the assumptions, it's for that Stafford principle, because you're challenging them to make the organization better. And it's not personal. It's about how we make the organization better and that constant communication. But it's a little bit more personal contact, and you don't want to be over communicating, but you don't want to over inundate them, but you want to have the right level to show how the organization's moving, the reason why you're making those changes, and the value it's going to bring to the organization. So it communication strategy is, I think, like Colonel Aker said, it's going to be one of your biggest tools in the tool chest to be successful as you move the organization. Plus, it creates a kind of a historical where people can go back and reflect on it and see it. I think that's one of the key aspects of having a good communication strategy, you know, because they might remember it, but with stress and other changes and things that are going on, they need to be able to go back and have something to refer to. For, you know, to digest it. That's another one of the 6 points where they'll learn and begin to adopt faster.
This is John Stein. I don't have much to add. I just say, you know, introduce them to it and repeat it often. That should get you where you're going, where you need to go.
Hi, this is Natasha Sergeant Celine. I'm the Chief Paralegal NCO at the 75th. And I've been listening intently, taking notes. These are just such great ideas, and seeing how you have taken the years to apply these principles, and you can give us, you know, results that are tangible that we can put our arms around. But with our unique situation, I was wondering, like, when you said that problems are not personal, they're the, you know, you're united in your issues. And once we get through those issues, like at the headquarters, you know, we're all trying to build a bicycle, you know, for our kids to ride. And then so we push our little bicycle out then to our groups, and then, you know, we're trying to teach them how to ride it. And then they take off, you know, and they're down the road running. But the soldiers at the command that have been servicing and working and trying to figure out how to pay people and where to let them park their desk we really need that feedback too, because you talked about sharing the results. We really do care at the HHD that what those results are. We want to know that all the over you know, stressing and worrying about who's getting paid and who's going to this conference and what's a non-DOD conference and who's going, you know, to some, you know, symposium. We want to know that, you know, you went and you had a great time. It was great experience. And I know we're supposed to do storyboards back, but I just think that is, for us at the headquarters, we really need that feedback to help get us going. And so what's the best way to tell the down traces? It's like, hey, kids, turn around and wave to mom and dad. You know, we really want, we're glad that you're happy, and let us know what else we can do for you and to support you.
So is the question, Master Sergeant Celine, how you get the feedback from your down trace? Is that what you're asking?
Right, because our down traces are very unique with, they're all these brilliant people. I mean, they all do brilliant, exceptional things in the civilian world, too. So they're used to running their own companies or being in charge of their own sections. So sometimes I just want to know, how do we get them to pause and turn around and give us back what we need, that what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, instead of being like in a complaining fashion.
Well, I mean, one thought I'm having, you know, in that context is, I don't know if you have designed something of a, and this may seem very simplistic, but designing some sort of a feedback form that you might send out to those folks, because again, they're so geographically, you know, dislocated. If you really need it, and design it with those principles in mind, right? To as use them perhaps as categories.
Right.
I don't know if that makes sense or not. Mm-hmm. I don't know if, you know, overtly reaching out and asking for some feedback on some periodic basis, but design it with those in mind.
Sometimes I believe that it's going to be a simple answer. It's just trying to get everybody on the same page. And I think that these principles are definitely going to aid our culture. It's been the same at the 75th for a lot of years, and I'm really excited about seeing these implemented.
I mean, perhaps along the same lines, you design some sort of a dashboard that's accessible by your, you know, units. Again, that's designed in some fashion with that in mind. Maybe not so overtly, but, you know, maybe in some, again, I'm kind of thinking through in my head how I design a visible dashboard on a portal for them to review. And you take the feedback and you capture it in that way and display it back to them. That would be something else I might recommend.
Well, thank you.
This is Sergeant First Class Rockwell from the G4. And I'm the supply sergeant there. And my question is, once you implemented the principles, how did you assess how it was moving forward, monthly, quarterly, annually, or during the command climate survey?
This is General Katulich. I'm trying not to go first every time, but let me just, you know, I never got to the point where, I'll be honest with you, I never got to the point where I was deliberately measuring, you know, in accordance with those principles. For me, it was a leadership development sort of framing. And unfortunately, I can't offer you any tools. I could probably think through some, but I don't think that, you know, I had a conscious way of measuring. If that means, I don't know. Let me hand it off to the other panelists.
Yeah, this is Colonel Carvalho. Very similar. It was more about creating that mindset and that environment, and because their unit's success was more the measure that they were adopting it and moving forward. It wasn't specific something I was measuring. It's like, you know, because you're constantly looking at it every day, right? I mean, if you're living and breathing it, and it's your, as a leader, you've adopted it, it's who you are, and then you want the units and your command to be a reflection of that. So you would see that permeating in how they respond back to you and how they're executing. And so that's not a very quantifiable metric or measurement, but, you know, you'll see that qualitative part of it as you evaluate, you know, their results and how they're executing and their success rates, their, you know, and their motivation, if they're having fun and turnover and things of that nature. So you have indirect metrics that you can see it in their performance, but I don't know that there was very similar to General Katulich that had a very quantifiable metric for it.
Yeah, I'll jump into Colonel Caraballo, just kind of dovetail and piggyback on that. It's the same thing. Yeah, we don't do the principles, and I don't think General Stotts, is a supporter of the principles for the principles' sake, although you have to be a believer and subscribe, and it's a wholeheartedly support, that environment, and that, you have to walk that walk. But they're the means. They're the means and the way to an end to create, A, employees on an individual level, that you're getting the max performance out of those employees in a results-based environment. That individual performance is shaped by duty, desire, time, capacity, and somewhat, their own development and all those kind of things all rolled into one. But at the end of the day, what we want to do is achieve the max performance from individuals, as well as develop them and show them what being taken care of looks like. Because some of them do not know what being taken great care of is. And it is so amazing to sit back and watch the results of a soldier that has been properly mentored and who you've given your time and energy to, and watch him flourish. It's the coolest thing ever. But then on a team level, these characteristics, everyone is realizing it's kind of, permeates through the teams that, hey, we're going to talk about results. We're going to talk about desired effects and objectives and how to get there in a doctrinal way, but also we're going to whistle while we work, and we're going to have fun while we're getting there, and we're going to challenge ourselves, and we're going to self-develop along the way. And then finally, when you get to the end state on the results and products and deliverables and changes to processes and an emerging and developing organizational climate and behavior, people in staff meetings and any kind of meetings are used to being asked, what's the value add? What's the so what? Everyone's using the same vernacular and the same operating picture that we have to be able to assess what we're doing. We have to be able to measure it and be able to clearly articulate, measure performance, effectiveness, what's the value add to the organization? Why is it important for us to do this, and what problem does it solve? And that is kind of the measure of whether this is permeated through in your organization. And, you shouldn't have to get too many people to get fired up about having more fun, but also being more fulfilled. And that includes the family along for the ride. Over.
This is John Stein. I'm going to answer this a little different way. The way I measure it is, I don't sit down and say, score 95 in parent principle or so forth. It's really looking at the effects. Again, as civilian organizations, I tell people I hire them for life, and and want to help them in their career and move them forward in the organization. For the most part, they can have their full career in the department if they want, or they can move elsewhere. And comparatively across the company, things that I can look at to show that I am successful is, number one, is attrition. We have an exceptional rate of people staying and wanting to stay within the organization. Second would be how proud they are of the organization they're working in. You can see this. There are various climate surveys that are done in the corporation, and my department always does exceptionally well on those. From the standpoint of ensuring that staff really understand it and know it, it's such a part of our culture. It's the way we look at how all our staff contribute or do their work. It is how their leaders describe the staff that when they're evaluating them. And from my position, I get to see all that happening. So it gives me a ample feedback to show that it has been adopted and that staff appreciate it.
So this is Rich Stotts again. We're at the end of our time, a lot of time, and I just want to, because we have just such a blue ribbon Gold Star group of panelists. I'd like to give them a big round of applause, and I want to be mindful of their time, though. So thank you very much to our soldiers, and especially to our four panelists for helping us out tonight. I really personally appreciate it. So big round of applause for our panelists. Thank you all very much. Exactly. And thank you much, and have a great evening. The plan is that on Thursday and Friday, I'm going to have some time to edit this, and I will send you all a link to it before we go live, so you have a chance to listen to what the podcast sounds like before we put it out in the public domain. But again, thank you very, very much for participating tonight. And with that, Becky, I'm going to let you close us out.
All right. I just want to reiterate what Major General Stott said. Thank you all so much for participating, and thank you for your incredible insights and your awesome questions, thought-provoking questions. If you have any additional information to provide, panelists, if there's anything additional you want to say to the 75th attendees, please feel free to email it to me. I will compile it and make sure that it's shared. And personnel from 75th Innovation Command, thank you again for calling in tonight. Thank you for your incredible questions. And if you have additional questions, please email those to me as well. And other than that, just thank you all, and I hope you have a fantastic night.
Thank you.
Same to everybody. Thank you.
Thank you all. Appreciate it.